नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम फर्स्ट कैंटो 17th चैप्टर पनिशमेंट एंड रिवर्ड ऑफ कली टेक्स्ट 29 तं जिघांशुं अभिप्रेत्या विहाय नृप लांछनम तत्पाद मूलम शीरसा समगाद भय व्यूभलः तं जिघांशुम अभिप्रेत्य विहाय नृपलांछनम तत्पाद मूलम शिरसा समगाद भय व्यूभलः तं जिघांशुम अभिप्रेत्य विहाय नृपलांछनम तत्पाद मूलम शिरसा समगाद भय व्यूभलः तं जिघांसुम अभिप्रेत्य विहाय नृपलांछनम तत्पाद मूलम शिरसा समगाद भय व्यूभलः
तं जिघांसुम
अभिप्रेत्य
विहाय
नृपलांछनम तत्पाद मूलम शिरसा समगाद भय व्यूभलः तम
him, Jighangshum, willing to kill. Abhipritya, knowing it well. Bihaya, leaving aside. Nripalanchanam, the dress of a king. Tatpadamulam, at his feet. Shirasa, by the head. Samagat, fully surrendered. Bhayobibhalaha, under pressure of fearfulness. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. When the personality of Kali understood that the king was willing to kill him, he at once abandoned the dress of a king and, under pressure of fear, completely surrendered to him, bowing his head. Please repeat after me. When the personality of Kali understood that the king was willing to kill him, he at once abandoned the dress of a king and, under the pressure of fear, completely surrendered to him, bowing his head. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The royal dress of the personality of Kali is artificial. The royal dress is suitable for a king or kshatriya. But when a lower class man artificially dresses himself as a king, his real identity is disclosed by the challenge of a bona fide kshatriya like Maharaj Parikshit. A real kshatriya never surrenders. He accepts the challenge of his rival kshatriya and he fights either to die or to win. Surrender is unknown to a real kshatriya. In the age of Kali, there are so many pretenders dressed and posed like administrators or executive heads, but their real identity is disclosed when they are challenged by a real kshatriya. Therefore, when the artificially dressed personality of Kali saw that to fight Maharaj Parikshit was beyond his ability, he bowed down his head like a subordinate and gave up his royal dress. Tang jighangshum abhipritya bihaya nripalanchanam tatpada mulang shirasa samagad bhayabhyubhalaha. When the personality of Kali understood that the king was willing to kill him, he at once abandoned the dress of a king and, under pressure of fear, completely surrendered to him, bowing his head. So, Parikshit Maharaj saw Kali. Kali's nature is like Sudras. Actually, Kali is a sort of a demigod. Kali has the power or has the facility or sanction to rule over this age. He is the controller of this age. He is a personality who has been described as the son of envy and anger. In an ultimate sense, everything is a personality. Everything has its source as a personality. Sin is a person. Piety also is a person. Dharma is a person. Mother Earth also is a person, as we are seeing here. Dharma looks like a bull. Dharma is form. Dharma is a person, and his form, his appearance is like, he looks like a bull. And Mother Earth, she has many forms, and one of the forms Mother Earth has is that of a cow. So in the ultimate issue, all these are personalities. In the spiritual sky, everyone is a personality. Everything is a personality. In the spiritual sky, even the bed is a person. Not only a person, bed, Krishna's bed in the spiritual sky is actually Balaram, Shankarshan, Ananta, Shesh. In Vaikuntha, Shankarshan, when Narayan expands, the Shankarshan also expands. When Narayan becomes Vishnu, then Shankarshan becomes his bed, Ananta as Ananta Shesh. In the spiritual sky, even the pillows and bed sheet, all are personality. And as personalities, they are conscious, they think, they feel, they will. Sometimes the pillow feels that he is always at the head of Krishna and he never gets a chance to serve his lotus feet. So pillow moves towards Krishna's feet to serve his lotus feet. So in this way, in the spiritual sky, in the spiritual sense, everything, everyone is a person. Not only everyone is a person, even everything is a person. And in that sense, in the spiritual sky, every thing is a personality. Every body is a personality. And not only in the spiritual sky, in the higher concept, in the material nature also, there are personalities. Like Himalayan mountain is a personality. Vinda mountain is a personality. Mandar mountain is a personality. They all the mountains, apparently it appears to be just inert thing, but they are actually personalities. And not only personalities, I mean, they have some very exalted personality. Like Himalaya is the father of Parvati. That's why her name is Parvati. Mountain is Parvat. And the daughter of mountain, daughter of Parvat, is Parvati. Similarly, Radharani and Chandravali are the daughters of Vinda mountain. Vinda became competitive. Vinda felt, Himalaya's daughter got married to Shiva. I will have a daughter who is even more exalted than Himalaya's daughter. So in this way they have the feelings of rivalry and they get into a feeling of rivalry and competition, and they want to have some exalted competitions like, his daughter is so exalted, I will get a daughter who is even more exalted. And as we know, Ekadasi is a personality. Similarly, there are demigods who are controlling different aspects of this material nature. They are personalities. River Ganges is a personality. Jamuna is a personality. Similarly, lust, greed, anger are personalities. So, the son of anger and envy, krodh and hinsha, these are two personalities. Their son is Kali. And you can see the link also. Kali, who is Kali? Kali is actually quarrel. Kali is quarrel personified. And how does quarrel breed? The breeding ground of quarrel is envy and anger. We become envious and we become angry, and immediately Kali is born. Quarrel is born. And that personality is the controller of this age. So since he has the control over this age, since he is the ruler of this age, so he thought that he could dress like a king. Now he has become the king. This is the earth planet is his kingdom. Of course, after his encounter with Parikshit Maharaj, he realized that he is not fit to be the king. Therefore, he got his friend, Adharma, to become the king. So the ruler, ultimately, of the ruler of this age is Adharma. And Kali is Adharma Bandhu, the friend of Adharma. This age is ruled by Adharma. And those who go for Adharma, those who are against Dharma, they flourish, they prosper, they are patronized by this age. Whenever someone becomes follower of Adharma, the king of this age says, "Oh, very good boy. I will reward you. And what are the rewards? Prosperity. In this age we see who are prospering. The people, those who are sinful, those who break the religious principles, they prosper. Whether they are happy or not, that is a different thing, but at least there is some glamorous prosperity. They seem to be very, very successful. And nowadays we can see most of the people, those who are successful, what are they doing? They are running the business of promoting meat eating or cow killing. They are promoting intoxication. They are promoting illicit sex and gambling. The government, like in America, the government is promoting these things. Drugs, intoxication has become a big business, and the government leaders are involved in that. Not only in America, like South, everywhere practically. Meat eating had been a big business in America. The big cities of America are big slaughterhouses. And illicit sex is rampant everywhere. And gambling, they built a city just for gambling, Las Vegas. The whole city has been built just for gambling, and people go there for gambling. Not only, Las Vegas was the first one, but now there are many other cities that have built just for that purpose. And all the cities are actually the place where these sinful activities go on. Now this is the age of Kali. What can be done? The age of Kali is ruled by Kali, the personality of Kali. And he is torturing Dharma and he is torturing Mother Earth. But a king like Parikshit Maharaj, a kshatriya, a real kshatriya, his business is to protect the Mother Earth and protect Dharma. That is the responsibility or the duty of a true kshatriya. The word kshatriya means kshatat trayate iti kshatriya. Kshat means injury. Trayate means protects. One who gives protection from injury is a kshatriya. According to the Vedic Varnashram system, these varnas are decided according to the qualification, not by birth. Brahman, who is a Brahmana? Brahma janati iti Brahmana. One who knows Brahman, one who knows the absolute truth, he is a Brahman. The qualification or the symptom of a Brahman is not just having a Brahman thread around the torso. Prabhupada is to criticize that. The person is pulling the pushcart in Bada Bazaar, in the marketplace, but he has a Brahmin thread, janeu, around his torso. And he is very proud he is a Brahman. He is a thela wala, but he is proud that he is a Brahman. Similarly, just as the Brahmana is to be, a Brahmana is a person who knows Brahman, who knows the absolute truth, who knows the spiritual reality, who knows the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Actually, one may not know the Supreme Personality of Godhead, still he can be a Brahmana. By knowing the, even if one is aware of the impersonal Brahman effulgence, Brahma Jyoti, he is a Brahmana. He knows the source of this material nature. He knows where everything came from. He knows the source of the origin of creation. He knows that the origin of creation is not Big Bang. The origin of creation is Brahma Jyoti. Sarvam Khallidam Brahman. Everything is a manifestation of this Brahman. But when he gets to know the Param Brahma, when he gets to know the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then he becomes a Vaishnava. Therefore, a Vaishnava situation is even beyond or even above the Brahmana situation. A perfected Brahmana is a Vaishnava. But a Kshatriya, he is in the material nature, he is influenced by the mode of passion. And a kshatriya's nature, when one is a kshatriya, when one is completely under the mode of passion, when one acts under the mode of passion, and what is the influence of the mode of passion like? The influence of the mode of passion is, one wants to enjoy this material nature. But this material nature can be enjoyed only by the great heroes, Birabhogya Vasundhara. Vasundhara is the name of Earth. And this Vasundhara is enjoyed only by the Veeras. Veeras means the powerful heroes. And therefore the Kshatriyas have this challenge. Okay, you want to enjoy? You have to face your adversary. Just you can't just come and enjoy. In order to enjoy, first you have to possess. If something doesn't belong to you, you cannot enjoy it. Now how do you possess something? You possess it with your power. And then after you possess it, then you have to protect it. And the Kshatriya's nature has been compared to the nature of a lion. Lion, among the animals, lions are the Kshatriyas. Lions are influenced by the mode of passion. Cows are influenced by the mode of goodness. Even the animals come under the influence of different modes. Different animals are under the different modes. Lions are under the mode of passion. Cows are under the mode of goodness. Dogs are under the, dogs and other animals are under the mode of ignorance. And there are different categories of ignorance. The pigs are also in another category of ignorance. They are even deeper. Dogs are at least better than the pigs. Pigs are the worst of all animals. So we can see among the human beings also, there are individuals who are like dogs and hogs and camels and asses. Who are they? Those animals? The dogs and hogs and camels and asses? They're under the mode of ignorance. The human beings also sometimes they're under the mode of ignorance. Under the mode of ignorance they behave like even worse than animals. But the human society is meant to be transcendental to the mode of ignorance, at least in the mode of passion, or it should be in the mode of goodness. Therefore, the guiding factor of the human society is the Brahmanas and Kshatriyas. The Brahmanas guide. Actually, the guiding factor is the Brahmanas, and the protective factor are the Kshatriyas. So one must be qualitatively a Kshatriya. One must give protection to the state, to the kingdom, to his kingdom, or to whatever he possesses. And if he is not powerful enough to give the protection, then somebody will come and snatch it away from him. Just as he can snatch away, others can snatch away. The kingdom can be snatched away from another king. So Mother Earth is neutral. Her mood is, whoever is more powerful will have me. And this was the condition. Okay, and you are possessing me, but you have to protect me. That is the mood. Nature is compared to a woman. The woman must be protected. Similarly, this nature, Mother Nature, must be protected. So that is the responsibility of a Kshatriya. But when the Shudras, like in age of Kali, what is happening? They are not giving protection to the Mother Earth. They are exploiting Mother Earth. And a king like Parikshit Maharaj, Kshatriya like Parikshit Maharaj, when he sees that that is happening, then immediately he stops. He tries to stop that. But of course, later on we will see, although Parikshit Maharaj was trying to get rid of Kali, or planning to get rid of Kali, Eventually, he held back. He retreated. He withdrew. Because he saw Krishna's divine arrangement. He saw that ultimately it is Krishna's arrangement that he is going to rule over this age. So let him rule over this age. And since it is Krishna's arrangement, there is a benefit behind that. There is an advantage. Yes, this age is very degraded, but this age has a great advantage. That's why Parikshit Maharaj considered that although there is disadvantages, but the advantages of this age ultimately supersedes the disadvantages. Jai Shri Shri Gaunidhai ki jai, Jai Shri Shri Krishna Balaram ki jai, Jai Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohan ki. And that is why he said, okay, let him be excused. So Parikshit Maharaj, that's why he did not kill Kali, but decided to banish him from his kingdom. But then Kali saw that the entire earth planet, including the ocean, belongs to Parikshit Maharaj. So if he banishes him, then where he would go? So he told him that, if you banish me, where shall I go? Then Parikshit Maharaj said, okay, then you can stay in these four places. Wherever there is adharma, you can stay there. Wherever there is meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex and gambling, you can stay there. But Kali saw that in Parikshit Maharaj's kingdom, these activities do not go on. So he again appealed to him, please tell me, where shall I go? Because in your kingdom, these activities are not practiced. These activities are not existing. Then Parikshit Maharaj gave him gold. In that way, we can see how detached Parikshit Maharaj was. He gave him gold. Because a king is not really attracted to gold. Because gold is the medium of exchange, and a kshatriya doesn't want to buy things. We need gold in order to exchange by buying. A kshatriya is not interested in buying and selling. Kshatriya is interested in his sword. He will just go and say, okay, here I am, I want it. He won't go and say, bhav kaisa hai, kitna bhav hai, what is the price, how much does it cost? No, he doesn't make a condition like that. His thing is, I want it. And if it belongs to somebody else, he says, look, buddy, I'm sorry, it belongs to me. Then he says, yeah, it may belong to you, but I like it, I want it. So he'll say, why should I give it to you? He said, okay, if you don't want to give it to me, come, let's fight. And whoever wins possesses that. So that is the rule of nature. A group of people, the kshatriyas, that is how they establish their right over things in this material nature. Like a lion. Lion in a forest will not even touch an animal that has been killed by some other animal. The lion will kill the animal itself. He'll kill the animal, kill its prey, and then he'll eat that animal. That is how he will fill his belly. Other animals will come and get the remnants of the lion, but the lion will not take anyone's remnants. The kshatriya also, they will not take anybody's remnants. Even some kshatriyas who are very degraded personalities, like Shalva. He was there when Bhishma claimed these three daughters of Kashiraj, Amba, Ambika and Ambalika. Amba was in love with Shalva. And she wanted to, in her mind, she gave herself to that personality. And when Bhishma forcibly took them away, and this is also another deed, another nature of the Kshatriya. What did Bhishma do at that time? As a Kshatriya, he went there. He made an announcement. He introduced himself, who he was. I am from the Moon Dynasty, Chandravamsa. My father is Shantanu. And my younger brother has become the king. And now that he has become the king, he needs some bride, he needs some queens. So I have come here to claim, I decided that these three daughters of Kashiraj are the suitable brides for my brother. So I am claiming them, I am taking them for my brother. Now if anyone wants, he can try to stop me. Come. Not one or two persons, the whole assembly of kings and princes attacked him with their soldiers. And Bhishma fought alone. It's inconceivable, how can one fight like that against thousands of soldiers? But we can also see, if there are thousands of ants, can one man fight with the thousands of ants? And similarly, these personalities were so powerful that they could fight against all these. Collective onslaught. They're so powerful that even other human beings with their weapons were like a bunch of ants or cockroaches. So then when Bhishma was taking them, he told this Amba, the eldest of these three daughters of Kashiraj, told him, look, I already gave my heart away to Shalva. So please let me go. Then Bhishma said, okay, fine, you can go. Since you have given your heart to somebody. And that is also with a woman, the Vedic culture. Woman, in her heart, there is a room for only one person. Besides Krishna. There is room for only one person, and that is her husband. The person she gives her heart to, he is the only person who actually dominates that region. So Bhishma said, okay, you can go. But when she went to Shalva, she was an extremely beautiful woman, a princess. And not only a princess, she was an incarnation of Durga. Can't imagine how beautiful she must have been. And Shalva was eager to get her. Naturally, that's why he went and that's why he fought. But when she came, then he said, look, I don't take anybody else's remnants. I don't subsist on somebody's charity. Big deal. Bhishma is showing his charity towards me, his compassion, sent you back to me to get married to me. He said, get lost. You have already been taken away by somebody else. Go marry him. That was his reply. Go marry him. But of course, Bhishma didn't want to marry because he took a vow that he'll never get married. So she tried in so many different ways. She begged Bhishma, please marry me. You have taken me forcibly away from the
Swayambara Prabha. So you must marry me. You took me by my hand and pulled me into the chariot. So when a man takes a woman by his hand, that indicates that he already accepted her. And Bhishma said, fine, I understand all your arguments, all your reasonings, but I took a vow that I'll never get married. And she said, then what will happen to me? I don't know. What's going to happen to you is none of my business. You figure it out what's going to happen to you. You said that you wanted to, you gave your heart off to Shalva, I sent you back. Otherwise, you could have married my brother. That's why I actually took you. Then she approached Parasuram, Bhishma's guru. Said, look, this is my condition, your disciple is behaving like this, please do something about it. Parasuram said, okay, I will do something about it. I'll tell him to marry you. Came to Bhishma. Bhishma said, look, how can I marry? Like I took a vow. He said, I'm a spiritual master, I'm instructing you. And Guru Raga Balavan, the instruction of the spiritual master is more powerful than the vow that you have taken. So since I'm telling you, you can marry. Bhishma said, no. My vow comes first. And he said, look, I'm your spiritual master. He said, when the spiritual master gets bewildered and gives wrong advice, that spiritual master can be rejected. Parashuram became furious. You dare to speak to me like this? Do you know who I am? And he says, I'm sorry. What can I do? When you are speaking like that, you're asking me to give up my vow? Never. And Parashuram said, then fight with me. And they fought for days together. And it was undecided. Neither Bhishma could defeat Parashuram, nor Parashuram could defeat Bhishma. Then finally, Brahmaji came and mediated and brought peace among them. But this poor girl, Amba, she had to bear the brunt of it. Her problem is not solved. Then she finally decided that, okay, this person who has insulted me, hurt me so much, so I will be the cause, I'll kill him. I'll be the cause of his death. Saying that, she entered into fire to give up her life. And that person, Amba, appeared as Shikhandi, the offspring of King Drupad. And he was the cause of Bhishma's death. Because one day Krishna advised, look, Shikhandi, Bhishma knows that Shikhandi is a woman. Therefore, he won't release his arrows with the fear of hurting this woman. He was a woman, now he's a man, but in his previous life he was a woman. Previous life in a sense, that personality Bhishma recognized. And Bhishma did not retaliate to Arjun's onslaught. Arjun just kept on shooting arrows. Bhishma's whole body was pierced with arrows. And finally Bhishma fell. And when he fell on a bed of arrows. That is how Bhishma's end came from the battle. He was the general of the army. So
That was the first phase of the battle of Kurukshetra. Then the second phase started when Dronacharya became the general. So this way we can see how noble these Kshatriyas were. Even though they are degraded, but they were very noble in their nature, in their behavior. Why so many people were following Duryodhana? Because there was a great nobility in Duryodhana. Although apparently it seems that he is such a disgusting character. But in his personal dealings, he was very noble. So these are the Vedic Kshatriyas. And when the Kshatriyas are ruling this earth, the earth becomes protected by their power. Now in the age of Kali, the Kshatriyas are gone. There is no Kshatriya. There are some Kshatriyas, but they withdrew. There is a book called Jagannath Saravali. That book actually describes that King Indradumna is still here on this planet, but he withdrew. He is meditating somewhere in the Himalayas. And when the Kali Yuga will be over, then Satya Yuga will begin, he'll come back and take charge. And not only King Indradumna, there are many Kshatriyas that are there, but they withdrew because this is not the time, this is the rule of democracy, not individual's power is going to prevail. It's a collective power, and that power also the power of cowardice. Bunch of cowards are ruling over the kingdom. Even the so-called warriors, they don't fight with their own strength. They fight with bombs and other such weapons. Kshatriyas don't fight like that. Kshatriyas don't hide behind a bunker or underground safety places. The general, big general, but where is he? He is not in the front line of the battlefield. He is not even in the capital. He is 50 feet under the ground. He has his safety arrangement. So these are warriors? These are heroes? No. These are cowards. And these are the people who are actually became the leader. They're not even like, at least Kali is a Sudra, but these people, Kali's agents, they're even worse than Sudras. And these are the people, those who are ruling over this world. And what are they expert at? They're expert at deception and cheating. And lying. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to undo this miserable condition, to counter this miserable condition, change this degraded situation of this earth planet. And that's what Mahaprabhu Sankirtan movement is meant for. And Mahaprabhu therefore decided in this age the Kshatriyas withdrew because they are not going to fight in this age. Because that fight is not a fair fight. Any battle fought in this age, now we are seeing it became even worse. At least previously the two states used to, two countries used to fight. The soldiers used to wear uniform. There used to be a boundary. But now, how the world is going to be fought? Most likely the Third World War will be fought by the terrorists. There won't be any boundary, they won't wear any uniform. They'll hide, stand next to you and then just blow you up with a suicide bomb. So this is how the situation has become in this age. So where is the question of fighting? There is no need to fight. Therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in order to teach us not to fight, Mahaprabhu decided to come without a weapon. In other ages Krishna always came, paritranaya sadhanam vinashayate duskritam. He did that with weapon. Either he came with his mace or disc, a sword or bow and arrow, or even he came with his nails, which was his weapon. Nrisingadev's weapon was his nails. Tavakara kamalo vare nakham adbhuta shringam. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't bring any weapon, any such weapon. He brought a weapon. He brought the most powerful weapon in this age. And what is that weapon of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? That weapon of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna consciousness, the holy name, love. This Mahamantra is synonymous to Krishna prema. Namo Mahavananyaya Krishna Prema Pradaya. Jai Shri Shri Gaurnitai ki Jai, Jai Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohan ki Jai, Jai Shri Shri Krishna Madaram ki. So this is how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to kill the demons of this age. And to kill them he has a very special weapon. Love. He won't kill the demon, but he'll kill the demoniac propensities. If he starts to kill the demons, then no one will be left. Like when Kali started to kill this demon, Raktavij, and she got into such a frenzy because everyone became demoniac. So she started to kill, and she got into such frenzy, she started to kill indiscriminately, started to destroy everybody. Kali, the goddess Kali. And the creation was about to come to an end. And all the demigods, including Brahma, became perturbed. What's going to happen now? The way she is behaving, she is destroying everything. Then they approach Lord Shiva. Only you can stop her. And Lord Shiva didn't go and give her some good advice, because she was not in a state where she would even listen to anybody, even Lord Shiva's advice. So Lord Shiva just laid down on her path. And then Kali stepped onto Lord Shiva's chest. And then she came back to herself and said, "Oh my God, what did I do? I stepped onto my husband's chest." And as a result of that, she stuck out her tongue out of embarrassment, out of guilt, feeling of guilt. What did I do? And that is how she was stopped. And creation was saved. The similar thing would have happened in this age, which will ultimately happen actually. Ultimately that's what's going to happen. Kalki will come and Kalki will wipe everybody out, excepting a handful of devotees. And those devotees will inaugurate the Satyuga. Actually, when Kalki will come, the whole world will become so degraded, people will become so sinful. But that's a long way to go, 427,000 years. So what's going to happen in between? So Krishna had to come as Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
And he gave a very wonderful process, the Yuga Dharma of this age. Yagai Sankirtana Prayan. Harir Nama, Harir Nama, Harir Nama Iva Kevalam. Kalo Nasteva, Nasteva, Nasteva Gatiranatha. So we should take this instruction very seriously and just take shelter of the holy name. We don't have to become Kshatriyas. Actually, we can't become Kshatriyas. Look at the state of... Sometimes I hear that somebody claims that I am a Kshatriya. But what is a Kshatriya? Kshatriya, as it said, like he never compromises. He never surrenders to anyone. He'll fight to death. Now how, who can actually develop that kind of quality in this age? Sometimes some proposal is also there, the GBCs are Kshatriyas. Kshatriya doesn't mean a manager. Kshatriya means warrior. And warriors are not like a warrior like the terrorists or the soldiers, even the army, soldiers in the army. They are not Kshatriyas. They are, at the most, they are mercenaries. They are fighting for money. Because they get the salary, that's why they fight. They're mercenaries. A Kshatriya will not take any salary. Even a Vaishya will not take any salary. It's only the Sudras will take salary. So we have to recognize this point. Whoever takes salary is a Sudra. Of course, for a devotee it doesn't matter. Naham vipra na cha narapati napi na vaishya na sudra. Yes, we are devotees. Our business is to become a devotee. So as a devotee we can accept any varna. That's all right. But at least we must realize that we are not Kshatriyas. Prabhupada came to establish the Brahmanas, to create Brahmanas all over the world. ISKCON's business is to create Brahmanas all over the world. And not only Brahmanas, the best Brahmanas all over the world, the Vaishnavas. The perfection of the Brahminical culture is the Vaishnava. So Prabhupada came to make us Vaishnava, and we are happy that Prabhupada gave us this wonderful opportunity. And this is, in this respect, it's also important to remember that to try to become a Brahmana is not actually, to have, sometimes the devotees are so eager, I want to become a Brahmana, I want to become a second, I want second initiation. The real understanding is you're already above a Brahmana. You don't need second initiation. Second initiation means Gayatri Mantra. But you already got Maha Mantra, which is far superior to Gayatri Mantra. So why should you be worried about second initiation? Yes, for deity worship it is necessary that one should follow the rules and regulations of the scriptures. And the scripture says that only the Brahmanas will worship the deities. Therefore, yes, Prabhupada introduced the system of second initiation in ISKCON for those who will worship the deities. Or service related to the deities. But otherwise we should not be interested about Brahmanas. And even sannyasis After
Prabhupada gave me sannyas, I asked Srila Prabhupada, because the sannyas has four stages, Kutichak, Bahudhak, Paribrajak and Paramahamsa. The first stage is Kutichak and then Bahudhak. So I asked Srila Prabhupada, why don't we follow this? Like when you get some, when you are new, then you are very fired up also. So you want to practice it in a perfect way. So I asked Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada said, actually our business is not to become a sannyasi or a brahmachari or a grihastha. Our business is to become a devotee of Krishna. This point Prabhupada made many a times. Once I expressed my desire to Prabhupada to learn Sanskrit, Prabhupada said, what's the use? And he said, I tried to give some reasons why I wanted to study Sanskrit. And finally Prabhupada told them, there are so many pandits, expert in Sanskrit language, but what are they doing? They are not spreading Krishna consciousness. He says, our main business is to spread Krishna consciousness. That's the only business we have, to spread Krishna consciousness. And then Prabhupada reminded me that I became a sattva. He gave me sannyas in order to preach. And Prabhupada pointed out that our preaching is not going to take place in Sanskrit. Our main preaching is going to take place in English. And then of course Prabhupada pointed out that by Krishna's mercy one can learn. No, before that Prabhupada told me, you read my books and you'll learn Sanskrit. So do you read my books, you'll learn Sanskrit. He didn't completely discourage from learning Sanskrit. But he said, you read my books and learn. That is how you learn Sanskrit. And Prabhupada pointed out that our business is not to become a Sanskrit scholar. Our business is to become a messenger of Mahaprabhu's mercy, carrier of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. So, we can see that in this age, to change this society, there is a need of kshatriyas. But we don't really know how that will happen. But eventually that will happen. Personalities like Parikshit Maharaj will come and take charge, and he will protect the society. Protect Mother Earth, protect Dharma. And until then, we can just chant Hare Krishna and ask everyone else to chant Hare Krishna. And consider, the change will take place. Automatically the change in this world will take place. As we spread Krishna consciousness movement, as the world society becomes Krishna conscious, Krishna will make arrangements. Yeah, then kshatriyas will come and who will take charge. The modern existing ruling system is not going to take the society anywhere. Yeah, they'll take the society somewhere. They'll take the society to hell. But if we can see, the whole world actually became hellish. In spite of its exterior glamour, there is so much suffering. Hell is the place. What is the symptom of hell? Hell is the place that is burning with fire, and everyone in hell burns. Now look at the condition of the people. Aren't they burning inside out of dissatisfaction and anxiety? They're burning. Everyone is suffering so much. And it's why? Because the leaders,
They're misleading the society. When people indulge in sinful activities, how can they enjoy? And another symptom of burning is they're taking intoxicants. What are the intoxicants? Intoxicants are poison. And poison is fire. Poison is fire. It's liquid fire. Or if there are some solid intoxicants, that's solid fire. So when one takes it, it burns them. So this is how we can see they're voluntarily accepting this burning condition. And they can't help it. So Krishna consciousness is the only solution for the troubled society of today, troubled human society of today. Therefore, let us accept this process wholeheartedly and try to spread it all over the world with utmost sincerity and enthusiasm. Gaur Premanande Hari. Srila Prabhupada Ki. Does anybody have any question or comment? Yes. Give the mic. Well, gold is pure, but when the gold is not used in Krishna's service, then that gold becomes the place of Kali. That gold is Kali's place. Therefore, make sure whatever gold you have, use it in Krishna's service. Yes. Why the Matajis are allowed to? Yeah, but in India they are not. In the West, you see, since there are so few devotees, because of the need, it is allowed. But in India, you see, first of all, you know, in India, where people know the standard, we have to maintain the standard. Like in India, generally the custom is that only the male brahmanas worship the deities. You don't go, I mean, if you go to Tirupati temple or Ranganath temple, you don't find any woman pujari there. In Vrindavan also. Yeah, right. I mean, all the traditional temples. But sometimes, you know, when there is a scarcity, I remember in Calcutta temple there was some Matajis worshipping the deities at one time. When the number of devotees, Prabhupada said, you know, we have to be practical. If there is no pujaris and if there are some lady devotees are there, then yes, you know, they can worship. But when we have the option open, I mean, when we have enough brahmacharis or male pujaris, then it is better that, you know, they do the worship of the deity. Yes, Radharani, you have a question? I can't hear you. Switch it on. Yeah, now it's on.
I'm trying to understand for the 4 liters, 7 liters in the Kamalanian Martinian. So what is it that gave, or you know, how is it that Kali got the sanction to be ruling in this as part of the Chaturyuga? What is it that allows that to happen? Is it something that we human beings are doing that?
With time, with the movement of time, people become more and more degraded. In Satya Yuga, they are almost pure. In Treta Yuga, they are somewhat pure. In Dwapar Yuga, they are half pure. And Kali Yuga, they are almost gone. Right? So that's why in the age of Kali, in this particular age, this personality has the authority to rule by Krishna's arrangement. In this age, personality like him is needed. Who will introduce adharma? Because, you see, this material nature is designed according to the need of the conditioned souls. This material nature is not a perfect place. This is a place where living entities get an opportunity to fulfill his desire. The conditioned souls get an opportunity to fulfill his desire. So in this age, the people are so degraded and their desires are so degraded. So in this age, a personality like Kali is needed to rule over. So that's why Kali has given... Krishna knows that he is the most suitable person for this age, so he just... But at the same time, Krishna himself came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So both the options are open. One can either follow Kali or one can either follow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If one follows Kali, he will just go take a nosedive from a skyscraper. And if one follows Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he'll get into the lift that will take him to Golok Vrindavan. Now the options are open. Now which option one will accept is up to him. Yes?
This question is, when Kalki comes, he will avoid the sunset and give it to his people. But what will happen?
Well, not only receiving Prabhupada's books, receiving Prabhupada's books is not the consideration. The consideration is whether one is reading Prabhupada's books and acting according to Prabhupada's instructions. If one does that, if one reads Prabhupada's books and guy leads his life according to Prabhupada's instructions, then Kalki will spare him. Therefore, you seriously read Prabhupada's books. Okay? And follow Prabhupada's instructions. There was one hand went up here. Yes. Dinesh, you have a question?
The personality of Kali, what is it? Who created this personality?
Yeah, Kali, I mentioned at the beginning of the class that Kali is the son of envy and anger. Who created? The immediate creator is his father and mother, but ultimate creator is Krishna.
Master, Bhishma case, he disobeyed the spiritual master's order.
Yeah, Parashuram was not a Sadguru. He was an Astra Guru. He was not actually the spiritual master. He is the teacher who taught him how to use weapons. Bhishmadev himself answered that question. You see, when Bhishma was lying, after the battle of Kurukshetra was over, and Bhishmadev was lying on the bed of arrows, waiting for Uttarayan, and when Uttarayan came, the auspicious time came, then Krishna, along with the Pandavas and Draupadi, went to see him in the battlefield when he was lying in the bed of arrows. And there Bhishmadev gave instructions to Yudhishthir Maharaj. A very wonderful instruction. But when he was instructing Yudhishthir Maharaj, he noticed that Draupadi was smiling. So it's such a serious situation, he is instructing on such serious matter and Draupadi is smiling. So he was a little surprised. So he asked Draupadi, "Draupadi, why are you smiling?" So Draupadi said, "Now you are giving all this advice. Where was your wisdom when these rogues were trying to disrobe me in an assembly right in front of you?" Then Bhishmadev said, at that time, since I was eating food given by Duryodhana, my consciousness became contaminated. But now that I have been lying on the bed of arrows for so many days, all those bad blood has been drained out of my body. And now my consciousness became purifying. Okay, thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.